Good morning. Annyeonghaseyo. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Tea and coffee will be served in the Mayo Hall between the morning services. This evening's service is a celebration of the work of the street pastors and is held at St Andrew's Church in Maple Road, Surbiton. Pastoral news. Marjorie Baisley remains in hospital, but there are plans for her to leave soon. Steve Wenman is now at home and slowly improving. And Peter Ashdown is out of hospital and here today. On the 1st of February, the Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness winter night shelter started and will continue for 6 weeks. Please pray that there will be that it will bring comfort and will give space for the people to have access to the appropriate support that they need. Today is the last Sunday to place your voting papers in the election box, and thank you to all of you who have already done so. If you were going to and forgot to bring your paper today, I've got a few, so please take advantage and vote. Next Sunday is one of our extra church meetings, and it's also the deadline for contributions for church news. Thank you.
Join together to worship God. Those that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. So we join to sing the hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, and remember the plan with this is that you learn it. So you, as you sing it, when you chest yourself and shut your eyes, and so we join together to sing All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Thank you.
We join together to pray. Let's pray. Might and power belong to you, maker of heaven and earth. You know the number of the stars and follow the wind on which the birds soar. You know when there is thunder in the hills, when the valleys flood with rain, how the heavens stretch out like a tent to cover the breadth of our world. You have created the wide earth, orchards and marsh and fields of grass to feed the flocks and herds and to grow our daily food. A season is a moment to you, and yet you know each of us and you call us by name. We offer our grateful thanks, for it is good to gather and to sing your praise. For you are God who gathers in the outcasts. You are God who lifts the downtrodden, who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We offer our worship, the worship of our hearts, of our feelings and our emotion, as the worship of our minds and our thinking, that all would be acceptable in your sight, Lord our God, and the lives that we bring would be to your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Good morning. Can I have our first photograph up on the screen, please? Now, do you know what animal that is? Have a guess. Dahi? It's a bee, that's right. Have you ever heard another person referred to as a busy bee? Have you ever heard that? That Dahi, she's such a busy bee. She runs around everywhere. She's always doing things. And that Esther is a busy bee as well. Have you ever heard that? It's an expression that the grown-ups sometimes use to describe someone who's very busy, doing lots of things, someone who doesn't stop. Now, Jesus was a very busy person. Let's have the next picture. Can you see the sunrise? Sunrise is very early in the morning sometimes. I'm not sure I catch the sunrise very often, to be honest. Your mum does she? She probably does have to wake up quite early, your mum. Yeah. This is a beautiful sunrise, and it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Do you know what solitary means? It means he went off by himself. He was on his own. And he stopped to pray and to be quiet. Now, I think this morning's session might be a bit tricky because Dahi has already shared with me when we were over there that she doesn't have a quiet place. And I'm sure her mum and dad would probably agree with me on that one. But I'm sure you must be quiet sometimes when you're asleep. Or do you talk to yourself in your sleep? So I'm going to ask the adults where their quiet place is. Okay, so we can get some ideas for a little bit later when we go into the next room. So has anyone got a quiet place that you'd like to share? Where would you go to be by yourself or to be quiet? Oh, Esther, go on then. Your mum's room. Not while your little sister's in there. Fair enough. She's only little, isn't she? She's a bit noisy. Anyone? Bethany? Your bedroom. Okay. Anyone else? You must be very noisy people. Oh, busy, noisy all the time. Kathy says, out for a walk on her own. Hands up who likes going outside, being outside in the natural world. And yeah, see, you are quiet sometimes. Jesus had to take time out to get his energy back, to meet with his Heavenly Father, to talk to his God. And that's what we have to do, and that's what we're going to be thinking about today. How long do you think you could be quiet for next door? An hour? Bron, we're in for a great time. I don't think an hour, but maybe a couple of minutes? Shall we try it? 2 or 3 minutes, do you think? And we'll come back later and we'll tell the adults whether we've succeeded in being quiet for 2 to 3 minutes, all right? Okay, great. We're going to sing Jesus' Hands for Kind Hands, so please stand and join in.
So this is a reading that actually is a collection of encounters put together in one piece. We've had the healing in the synagogue. Jesus goes to complete a healing in another place. He then goes to withdraw to be by himself. And then the expectation about his ministry is raised and confronted. And this passage was read to us by Jenna Trigg. Jenna with a G, isn't it? J, is it? See, I've been spending your name with a G for years. Oh, what an idiot.
Jesus and his disciples, including James and John, left the synagogue and went straight to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a fever, and as soon as Jesus arrived, he was told about her. He went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. After the sun had set and evening had come, people brought to Jesus all the sick and those who had demons, all the people of the town gathered in front of the house. Jesus healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases and drove out many demons. He would not let the demons say anything because they knew who he was. Very early the next morning, long before daylight, Jesus got up and left the house. He went out of the town to a lonely place where he prayed. But Simon and his companions went out searching for him. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus answered, "We must go on to the other villages round here. I have to preach in them also, because that is why I came." So he traveled all over Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons.
So let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be yours, Lord Jesus. Amen. What an odd chap Jesus was, and not in a good way. How different from us Jesus is. If Jesus was around today and assessed by some standards, we would think he was a total loser. Does he not know that praying is talking to yourself at best? What's he doing getting up, going away to be by himself to pray? Get more sleep, Jesus. We value sleep. Turn over. Go back to sleep. Don't waste your time. And then there is that wise, wholesome, finger-on-the-pulse management businessman with his iPhone and his flow chart, I'll bet you. Peter, who comes in and says, "Jesus, you did a great job in the town. My wife and my mother-in-law love you, and the people want more of it. So let's go back. Let's build on this. Let's build a movement. Let's get the numbers in." Everybody knows that's how you do it. You start where you're strong, you develop it. And Jesus says, "No, we're leaving. I have to go and preach to other villages." "What? You stay? The crowd is where it is." With Jesus, it is a totally different way of looking at the world. And we who swim in a different culture need to be intentional about soaking ourselves in his way of looking at the world. And that is part of what prayer is about. How can we possibly know what is the right thing for us to be doing if we are not intentionally spending chunks of time with God? You'll notice this passage alternates between private and public, on his own, with a few in the house, dealing with the crowd, and that is how it is for us too. In the ebb and the flow between the public and the private, that is how a Christian life is lived. And we need to be sure that our behavior in the public is the best approximation of what we know in the private, when we are naked before God. A life that is all activity is likely to be a life that burns out and illness follows. However, there are many Christians that are educated way above their discipleship. What are we doing about the truth that we know? What difference will this truth make? Will we be kinder because we have encountered the living God? Will we be more concerned about the weakest, those who are needy? The other feature of discipleship is it is a lifetime's calling. So the question is, what does our discipleship look like for us today, as the people that we are today? How can we follow Jesus in this phase of our lives? The mother-in-law is often characterized as super housewife. She's healed, she leaps up, and she prepares the dinner. That's how it's usually painted. Okay, that's true, but it also has to be said that there is more than this busy good wife stereotype. The word that is used of her serving is the same word is used of the angels in the desert, serving Jesus there. So we do not think, do we, that the angels in the desert were busy cooking. Of course, we think they were giving him food, but they were fulfilling something that was deeper than that. So in this healing of Peter's mother-in-law, some sort of transformation has happened for this woman. She now serves him, not something else. And at that point, she probably does get up and get some food organized. And it is a useful reminder to us that faith is about the small, the everyday, the mundane things. The iPhone and the flowchart, as well as the food and the pots and the pans. And so at this table, bread and wine reminds us that it is in the ordinary that Jesus is served and recognized. He feeds us daily through special times like this when we gather, but also he would feed us every day at our tables or our trays on our laps. He feeds us. But the question for us is, will we stop long enough to eat with him every day? Let us pray. We have come to this empty place seeking you. We are here longing for the life that you give, trying to follow you as best as we can. So listen to us. So many are seeking you. So many are lonely. So many are sick. So many are afraid.
We bring those who need your healing. Those who need your guidance and your strength. Lord, we do not fully understand your way and what you would have us do. For those people and situations that weigh heavily upon us, we pray. For the world that we love and that you love more, we pray. Turn us to your world and make this space into a place of flourishing. Guide us, for you are our shining star, our life, that we might be yours and a hope for others. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. We are the grateful recipients of the hard work of a group of people who've got together to produce a less paper-consuming method than we've been using up till now of hymns, that are in Korean as well as in English. So that means that people can sing in with the traditional hymns of the faith, sing in two languages. So we will dedicate this, and we are grateful to Sulhee and to John Arnold and to Bron who have done this work. So let us pray. We dedicate to you these books, Lord Jesus, that they would be used as a symbol of our unity and also of our offering of our praise. For people will gather and speak in many tongues. Take our hands, Lord Jesus. Let them work for you. Make them strong and gentle, kind in all we do. Let us watch you, Jesus, till we are gentle too. Till our hands are kind hands, quick to work for you. Lord, we pray. Amen. Join to sing, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, 454.
Thank you.
So let us together celebrate this joyful feast. And people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit at the table in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Anyone who comes to me, I will never turn away. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by St. Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, it is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, and with the eyes of faith, we take bread, we take wine, and we give thanks. Let us pray. Great God of the starry host, who unfills the sky, who leads seekers by a star, who is life of every living thing, who is the life of each of us, we praise and thank you. For you who are God of the universe, yet hears the cry of the tiniest raven. You who are the mightiest of beings, yet cares for each of us. You who hear us when we cry in the night, you are with us. You are our God, and we are yours. We offer our thanks and praise for life itself and for the life of Jesus, who lived, died, and was raised to life for us. You are our God, and we are yours. And we thank you that this bread, the most ordinary and mundane of foods, will take us back to that last meal and remind us of fellowship times with the disciples, of betrayal, denial, brutality and death, and life in all its fullness. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. May this bread be for us as the body of Christ, this wine as the blood of Christ, and as we eat and drink, may we encounter you as for the first time. Praise be to you, our God, now, forever. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, and said, This is my body. It is broken, and it is broken for you. This is my blood, he said. It is shed
for you. But the question for us is, as we eat and drink, are we humble enough to receive? The body of Christ.
The question for us is, will we take the time to recognize him in the everyday? The blood of Christ. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have met with us in praise and worship, in word and sacraments. Thank you for the knowledge that you will be with us in our homes, our places of work and play. Help us to look for ways to serve you in those people and places. Help us to recognize you in the everyday, the ordinary, the uninspiring, and the really rather dull. And to know that you are God, committed to the whole. Thanks be to you, our God. Amen. Our final hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You, 474.
the cold dark of the morning, or by the light of the stars, may we be God's people who wait and listen and take time. And may God strengthen us and guide us, be our inspiration and the source of all that we do and all that we are, for now, forever. Amen.